Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Sunday edition of Housing Information You Can Trust right here for the next 2 hours on AM 760 WJR. How you doing, partner?
Life is good, man. I'm excited.
Yeah?
This is always fun to do.
I'm feeling great this morning. I'm just feeling great this morning. Did you see by any chance?
Here, let me feel you.
Get away from me. Don't touch me. Smack you. Did you by chance see the post that we put out on the Facebook page yesterday about Michigan? You know, you wearing your green colors, me wearing my blue, of course, and most of our listeners. You had quite a few people kind of disown you. Your brother went on and said, you know, I can't believe you're my brother.
Oh,
and then you had some other nieces out
actually,
there.
Actually, he's adopted. He's not really a blood relative. So... for those that don't know any better, he usually listens to the show, so I'm saying that to poke him in the side here. The day before, the upside-down hydro hoe that fell in the hole.
Oh, you like that one?
Oh, my gosh. I remember years ago, I think we posted it, dozer that had gotten a little too close to some soft material and was 90% submerged in what looked like a swamp. It's like, oh my gosh, these people.
Do you know this is a fact? Many years ago, two nuclear bombs were dropped. I've read this in North Carolina. One of them, three of the four fail safes went off. One more and it would have gone off. The other one fell into a swamp that is still there. It's still there. They can't get to it. They can't take because of that reason.
Yeah.
Everything will sink as they try to get down to it. So there's still one in the swamps in North Carolina as we speak. So yesterday we put out this post, you and I, me wearing my blue, you wearing your green, and you had some of your family. I'm trying to find some of these. Sorry, Uncle Chuck. let's see. You had a classmate, Kathy Oakhill, say she's sorry you couldn't make it to the class reunion. So I'm guessing you had something better to do. People say hi to us while we're there. Judy Renip?
Reminap.
Sorry, Chuck. Go blue. Thank you. Thank you. And then you had another cousin in here, or Don Peterson.
That's cute. Yeah, Don.
That's saying, sorry, cuz, go blue.
From Charlevoix, Boyne City area.
Yep. And Michigan did. They did very well yesterday.
You know, they did. And I predicted they would. I mean, everybody did.
Oh, yeah, but we've done that before. I predicted Michigan. Michigan has gone in just as big a favor as they were yesterday and lost.
Oh, of course. I mean, I guess that's why you watch the games, right?
Right.
But in all honesty, we're rooting for them.
Because at this
point, if they stay undefeated, obviously it's good for the Big Ten. It's good for
Michigan.
The state of Michigan, if you will. So you know me. I'm an admittedly fickle fan. None of them send me a check when they win or lose. So,
you know, I agree with you. Some fans, you know, I belong to a lot of sports pages, but I never comment on them because it's just crazy.
It's insane, people.
What people will say to other people, because of football
or
anything. But I can't imagine being that rude to anybody anywhere, anytime. And people just say it on a regular. I mean, on Facebook, I never comment on anything because I don't want to engage with those kind of people. But, geez, it's just a game.
We were talking about meditations this morning when you came in there. And so many people live vicariously through other people or groups like that, you know. If Michigan hadn't won, I'm going to kill myself. Oh, my God.
Oh, I know.
Life's terrible. It's like, really? Really? That's where your happiness is centered? You got to be kidding me. Oh. I'm selfish. I take the pleasure out of watching whoever it is. Whatever happens, it's over when it's done.
I told you yesterday I had the pleasure to go over to Clarkson Middle School and watch my granddaughter in her 8, 9, 10-year-old basketball league play basketball. And the whole time I'm watching, Chuck, because normally it's at 10 o'clock in the morning, I haven't had a chance on a Saturday to go see because we're doing the show. I just had the biggest smile on my face because neither one of the coaches were a yeller. They were smiling. They weren't pressuring. These girls were going back. They were going running down one side of the court, turning the ball over, just throwing it up towards the basket, hoping it goes in, running back. And that's all they did. And it was so much fun to watch the coaches and no one stress out and just have it. I just had a smile on my face the whole time. So, Good stuff. Hey.
We got 3 hours today.
We do.
Yeah,
we do.
We're going to sprint over to Clarkston Window and Door from noon to 1. But right now, what if your roof has shingles blown off it? You're afraid it may not survive the winter.
We had an email from a gentleman in Northfield that says, you have a local roofer that just does repair, that's an expert in repair. And look, Kanga Roof, or a lot of our team partners, don't have to live right close to you. They travel usually at least an hour of their location. Kanga Roof has a book that they'll show you that what your price will cost to repair your roof, no matter what it is. You can trust them. If you need a new roof or roof repair, we definitely want you to consider our friends at Four Seasons Kanga Roof.
Welcome back, everybody. We appreciate you being with us. It's going to be a busy show, a busy few weeks coming into the holiday season. Again, we mentioned that from 12 to 1, we will be with Jeff Weaver from Clarkston Window and Door, and you've heard him before. He just does a great job. And you and I hinted yesterday before we went over to talk to Steve Dickinson from Amnesty that he always has new stuff and cool stuff.
Yeah.
And he's got a giveaway program.
Now, let's put a caveat on this, okay? This is right now only for people who have consumers, right? Electric and heat.
And gas.
Electric and gas. I apologize. Now, our prediction is going to be it's going to be for everyone soon. And Steve mentioned this yesterday. And we are big believers of a new technology that Amnesty offers called AeroSeal. You've heard us talk about it. And Chuck and I will tell you, any heating and cooling duct system, anyone that's residential out there that hasn't had this system on leaks, they all leak. Some leak a lot worse than others. And when they leak, they put the heat in your house to places it's not needed at all. You want that heat going to that bedroom upstairs in the corner that you have a hard time getting warm.
I mean, it applies in the summer, too, with air conditioning.
Yeah, absolutely.
Any conditioned air. And commercial buildings are equally vulnerable.
Absolutely. However, Steve said the average cost of one to do this in a house is around $1,700 to $2,000 when we were talking.
Yeah.
Consumers Energy, will give you $1,000 back.
A rebate.
A rebate of $1,000. So you can get this done. I don't want to act like this is the greatest, but this is a technology that's needed in every system out there. Every one of them.
I agree with you. You have healthier air, cleaner, obviously, air.
More efficient.
Lower heating bills, possibly, yeah, because you gain efficiency by not plugging up those holes, if you will. But again, if you listen to Steve and listen to us, right now it only applies to consumers, power customers that have both gas and electrical running to their homes, servicing their homes.
Yeah, one of the emails Chuck and I get all the time is someone has a hard time keeping the room that is as furthest away from the furnace system cool in the summer and warm in the wintertime. And for a long time, Chuck and I just basically said, sorry. I mean, we've had people who insulated their walls, got new windows, did everything they could to make that room warmer. And they wind up putting booster fans in the ductwork, which we don't like. They do anything they can to try to get the energy to that room. And Steve Dickinson describes it perfectly. If you have a 100-foot hose full of holes and you turn the water on, the water is not going to get delivered to the end of that hose. Same thing with the duct system. With all the leaks you have in that duct system, the heat's not going to get to where it needs to be to make people comfortable. Unless you have this new technology, and consumers just made it so much easier for so many people to get this technology.
Yeah.
AeroSeal from Amnesty Air Duct Cleaning and Insulation.
It's a great product, great company. We believe in it. And the fact that you can get more than 50% of the typical cost rebated to you is unbelievable, quite frankly.
Really is. Really is. What a great deal. What a great technology that we all need. Hey, bud, did you have a chance to look at the article in the Detroit News Homestyle section this week?
Yeah.
I think a lot of people did. I hope a lot of people did because it's a very good article that keeps people safe.
All these people building decks this time of year, you know, in particular, that are doing it themselves. You and I have talked in years gone by about decks becoming a DIY project, which I don't believe is a good idea for a lot of people.
Right.
But they go out there and bore holes in the ground for the deck supports without any regard for what might be buried out there. And there's a million horror stories of people hitting gas lines and buried electrical lines and you name it. I came home years ago. This is in the house we're in right now. And the house might have been 7 years old. The subdivision was just being built out. And someone, during the day I found later, had driven a grounding rod. Actually, like one of the stories we use in our article, but this definitely happened. They're driving in an 8-foot grounding rod into the ground, strike an electrical line. It sends back current back through the line, and several houses had little fires on the side of their house where the utility box
was of all the to that. Dumb luck.
Exactly.
I mean, to put small the fires, rod no right there down, where you hit an electrical line, the chances of that is so small. Jeez.
But big enough to cost you a fortune, I guarantee you that, you know.
Anyone that's ever lived out in the country, I got in the city as well, has had their power lost because somebody hit a line around the block or the other side of the city. Someone knocked something. That happened to us last year. We lost power, I think, for about 6 hours because somebody hit a line under the. And if you're a contractor and you do that, oh, you'll rue the day you do that. Oh, I know. Yeah, I mean, it is big fines. I remember, Chuck, when we used to call Miss Dig, I know you did, you know, this too.
And actual damages, you know, fixing whatever damage was done.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. But they'll mark what Miss Dig does is they mark off where they know where the lines are. And they expect you, what is the distance? 6 feet on each side? They expect you to hand dig because they're not going to tell you, hey, it's right here. Look, dig down is right here. It could be 3 feet on either side of where they made that mark. And if you're using a machine, you can't go in there with the machine because pulling those wires out, you wouldn't even notice it until
the sparks. Are so powerful, you wouldn't have a clue until the damage was done.
Right.
So you're supposed to hand expose, which meaning, you know, with a shovel. But even with a shovel, you can do some damage, right?
And if they're so far down, gosh, it's so hard.
Yeah, and what they'll do, I mean, let's say it's a water line. So a water line, you know, they have reason to believe is at least below frost. They may use the machine to scrape the first 2 feet, you know, out of the trench.
Right.
And then hand dig the next couple feet to try to expose the line. And once they know where the line is, they can basically, I want to say guess, but that's not the right word, where
guesstimate.
It goes moving forward and where it came from moving backward.
Guesstimate.
Yeah. So they can miss it, if you will. But it's a really big issue, and I was impressed that nationally it was a consortium of five utilities in Oakland County that got together and said, we got to stop this from happening.
Wow.
Back in 1970, I think it was. We mentioned it in the article. And they just said, hey, this happens too much. People are dying. It interrupts service. It costs us, the utilities, a lot of money. So they got together and did this experiment in Oakland County, and it proved so successful. There isn't a state in the country, I don't think, anymore that doesn't have a similar program.
Yeah.
Legislators got involved. Mandated the formation of the nonprofits in Michigan. It's Miss Dig, obviously. But it's a free service to any person, to a commercial company or to you, a homeowner.
Yeah, we pay for it in our bill every month. That's what it's there for. That's what it's there for. And, you know, this goes for contractors and homeowners as well. Like Chuck said, if you're a homeowner and you decide you want to start doing some digging on your property, you need to be so careful no matter what you – I mean, think about what Chuck just said. Someone drove a grounding rod, which is what? Half inch diameter. And they hit a wire in the ground.
I know.
What are the chances of that?
Well, you and I talked about severing cables.
Right.
4 inches down in the grass.
Yeah, you're right. Thanks for reminding us of that. Yep, you're right.
Man, I mean, but, I've done it too.
And so it's even worse when you go without cable for half day. Okay? You can take away my power, but my backup will keep my cable going usually. But I knock out my cable, that's worse because we always talk about you can get a smaller generator to keep the essentials on in a power outage. Well, TV's an essential. You know, if you got a power outage, what else are you going to do? So I want that TV fired up just as much as I want my freezer fired up.
Get the game boards out, you know, from when the kids were young.
Hey,
Light a candle.
888-654-GUYS equals 888-654-4897. We'll take any of your phone calls.
We have a lot of fun with that. I want to remind everybody also, man, busy, that next Sunday we will be with the Sheenas at Window World over in Commerce Township. And we are asking for non-perishables. Now, they very specifically are trying to collect non-perishable food, toiletries, and paper products at the event next Sunday, not clothing.
Right.
Even though the charity that they're doing this for does throughout the year collect clothing and, you know, coats, shoes, boots, any of that kind of stuff, they're not doing that next Sunday. So food items, toiletries, paper products, we ask you to stop by, drop them off. If I know the Sheenas, they'll have coffee. If you know Mary, she may be cooking food.
So no clothes?
What's that?
No clothes?
No clothes.
Okay.
No clothes. But it's for Open Door Outreach, food pantry associated with St. Patrick's Catholic Church in White Lake, and apparently it's grown over 40 years. They serve like 9 zip codes. We are so blessed to not – there are so many people that have so much need.
Yeah.
And we discover it every year through people like the Sheenas, right?
Sure,
through
absolutely.
Through our team partners that get involved in these charities. And you just shake your head and you go, you got to be kidding me. There's a, but when you think, you know, this current inflation that's costing families an extra grand a month, you know, for all their bills and gasoline. I put 5 gallons of gas in my car the other day just because I don't let the tank run down. I mean, it barely come off the full needle or the full, you know, designation.
You normally have people fill up your vehicles for you, is that it?
It was $60-some. It's like, oh, my goodness, you know. I, a lot of times I don't pay attention to that, and I did that day. And I'm like, man, how do people do this?
Do you ever do this when you're driving? Like where I'm at on M15, there is a gas station in Ortonville that is literally 35 cents less than one up by me, a gallon.
You know, I don't tend to look.
You don't tend to look. I guess if I had your money, I wouldn't either.
I go to the same stations all the time, so it's just I trust their gas. If you know, I'm worried about that thing where you get water in the gas or contaminant.
Now that's a legitimate concern. That is definitely legit because you know that happened to my wife years ago, and that's my advice.
When I said that, now you.
Anybody ever pays cash for gas, always get a receipt. You drive away, and something's wrong with that gas. You have no proof that you bought that gas. But me, yeah, I am. I've always been cognizant of prices, and I will stop and put $5 in at a more expensive place until I get to the place I know is cheaper.
Really? See, I won't spend the time. And my thing is I won't drive out of my way and I won't wait in line. I mean, like the other day, I needed 4.5 gallons. So let's say it is 30 cents a gallon cheaper.
Why did you need 4.5 gallons? How?
Whatever. That's what I ended up putting in. I know. I didn't know that at the time. But long story short, it's so I would have saved $1.20, $1.50.
Right.
To me, I'm going to spend a lot more. My time is more valuable than that. And if I'm waiting in line with my car running, how much gas am I burning, you know, waiting in line?
No, I agree.
You see those, so I just don't.
Yeah, no, it's always 30. I mean, think about it, 30 cents a gallon, that adds up real quick.
I mean, it's a lot of money.
Yeah.
I don't disagree. You and I drive a bunch. You fill those trucks, and it's like, whoa.
Hey, we're going to continue to take your phone calls at 888-654-GUYS, which equals 888-654-4897. Just a little while, we're going to have the owner of Sharon's Heating and Cooling giving us a call and talk about your system going into the winter. They got a great special for anybody. You know, we always say now's the time to get that tune-up and have one of their technicians come in and make sure your system is working phenomenally going into the winter time. So we'll make this next break from the people that are going to be coming up on the air in just a little while. That's Sharon's Heating and Air Conditioning.
Welcome back, everybody. Appreciate you being with us. We're having more fun than we deserve to have. I want to remind you that throughout most of the show here, notwithstanding a phone call or two from someone else, we're going to try to get you in at 888-654-4897.
Was that LaGrange I heard? ZZ Top?
Jeez, I wasn't paying attention.
That was good.
Ask Brian. That's
such a good movie. Such a good song.
We got to see them live out at a Harley event.
Oh, really?
In Rapid City, which is just down the road from Sturgis. We were right up front. And,
oh, that must have been a great
show. Man, it was a great show. Those guys put on a
at a Harley at the motorcycle event in Sturgis, South Dakota. Wow.
That bearded threesome, you know, with the,
well,
with
I saw
the Harley
them,
group.
I saw them when I was dating my wife in 1986 at Pine Knob. And the Grange back then was one of their older songs that nobody mm-hmm. knew. It's such a good song. 888-654 guys equals 888-654-4897. Chuck, let's talk humidity for a second because we're getting a lot of people. We talked about it yesterday, but we're getting a lot of people sending us. Here's one that we had just yesterday. I have a humidifier. It never runs. How do I get it running, basically? They have a humidifier attached to their furnace. And you and I were talking about this earlier, that not every furnace, it unfortunately seems like everyone thinks they need to have a humidifier attached to the furnace nowadays, but not every home needs humidity. Like
right.
My home, I have one attached to mine that's turned off. I never turn it on. There's no reason to.
Did you have it installed or was it there when you bought the...
When Pat Kelly installed it.
Oh, that's right.
He put it in there because...
So you know it's a good one.
Yeah, I know it's a good one. Just because, I mean, everyone has one. I wanted to have it on there in case I ever needed it. I had it put in within a week or two of me moving into the house because I wanted to never worry about it for a long time. But I've never used it. I know I'm not going to use it.
You've got that huge body of water out behind the house.
Yeah, just because you have a humidifier on your furnace doesn't mean you necessarily need it. The first thing you need to do is check your humidity in your house before you turn that on. And if you're having an issue with humidity, you know, your thermostat, if your thermostat don't tell you, you can very easily go buy a $10 magnet one you can put on your refrigerator, and it will at least read the humidity in that area. If you keep your air moving throughout your house, you're more likely to get a even reading or more favorable reading throughout the whole house with that. But Chuck, people are waking up now in the mornings and they're having a bunch of humidity on the inside of their glass and they don't know why it's there. They never had it there before. And it's most likely a humidity issue in their house. And again, if you don't have a reading on your thermostat, go buy a cheap humidistat that you can just put a couple places around your house, right?
I agree. And keeping the air moving makes all the sense in the world. But, I mean, it's not if you have humidity problem. If you've got condensation on the inside of your windows, you've got excessive humidity.
Right.
Unless you've got an old single-pane piece of junk window, you know, that would be the only exception to that. But active humidity on the glass, especially on thermal pane windows, that's a bad sign, and you need to act on it.
Yeah. I told my wife the other day, we have a couple of dogs. I always tell people, not my dog. They're not my dog, but they're just small little 6-pound dogs. And she has a little cabinet that's about 2x2 she puts against the back wall in our bedroom. And I told her the other day, you got to move that out of there. She said, why? I said, because, honey, you have that right against that back corner. No air is going to move back there. It's right underneath the window. If we leave it there throughout, there's a chance mold could grow back there. And she didn't question me. Unbelievable.
Wow.
And she moved it. But every year, Chuck, you and I will tell people, if it's really cold outside and you have humidity in your house, let's say you have a dresser in one of your corners, take a look back there. Take a look behind the dresser because there's no air moving. It's literally 0 on the outside wall and 4 inches on the other side. It's 70. That's a breeding ground.
It could be
a breeding ground.
Yeah, right? Heat will move to cold. You know, we've told you that for the 15 years we've been on the show. And warm air carries humidity. So if heat is moving to cold, which means that warm air that you've conditioned in your house that's carrying the exhaled humidity from your lungs moves to the outside wall, the heat will go through the wall. The humidity will get trapped. It'll show up on the paint, the glass, and eventually it will work through the wall because high humidity will go to low. So if it's drier inside the wall, that humidity will move through the drywall, through the plaster, into the wall. Then it can freeze and really create problems.
and that could happen no matter what. And if you have air moving, there's less chance of it sticking, being able to stay and camp out there.
Yep.
However, you could have that air moving. If you have stuff piled up against a corner, especially on an exterior wall, the movement of the air is not going to get down to there. So you're going to have stagnant air, which is going to make that stuff last longer. Now, humidity in a house, Chuck, I mean, how important is it? What are some other areas that people may see evidence of a very humid house?
I mean, anywhere we generate it, obviously. Kitchens and bathrooms and laundry rooms and basements and crawl spaces are probably the five biggest villains.
I have a window. I have in my bathroom, my master bathroom, my water closet, toilet, is in its own little section with the window almost right above it. No matter what I do in my house, no matter what I do every morning, because it's right above the toilet, that window's full of humidity.
And
really? It's in a little room. I mean, like from here to there.
Now, is it a louvered door?
Yes.
Interesting.
Oh, you mean into that? We don't have, there's no door in that.
Oh, there's no door.
There's no door in that. I'm sorry. I thought you meant it's a crank out window.
Okay.
But there's always humidity on that window because it's right above the toilet. There's no way I can get the air to move in there. I keep the fan on all night. I'm not going to do that.
No.
But there's no way. So I just, every morning when I wake up, I grab a little and wipe it down.
Yeah.
That's all I can do.
Yeah, and I think I would take that same perspective too. Yeah, pay attention to it and just have a cloth right there and wipe it off instead of worrying about, you're running the fan all night. That'd get real expensive over the period of living there for 20 years.
And annoying.
Yeah, and annoying. So it's important to have some humidity as we go into the winter months. Sinuses, those kinds of things, general health. But we'll be talking more about that with you as we move forward into January, February, March.
Right. How much fun did we have last Saturday at the Victor's Roof Giveaway?
What a gift for us to be able to be a small part of that.
We had someone on Facebook ask, is this legitimate or is this just an advertising thing? No. This is a roof giveaway out of the goodness of Victor's heart, period. We
full tear off, full replacement of the system.
And he is happy to do
gutters.
Yeah. Another reason when you're thinking about a new roof, you want to talk to your good friends at Victor's Roofing. All right. Brian Morton playing some jams today.
That's cool, isn't it? I love it.
Thank you. That's awesome. All right, on the line with us right now, we keep talking. We're going into that time of year where people need to check on their heating system, because one of the worst things in the world, people are unbelievably afraid to call a professional in the month of January when their furnace goes out.
True story.
But we have two companies, and the one company, our Westside company, is on with us right now, and they are actually just a phenomenal company that's been in business for decades and takes great care of our listeners. Right now we have Pete on with us from Sharon's Heating and Air Conditioning. Pete, how you doing, sir?
Hey, morning, guys. Thanks for having me on. Happy to be here.
Hey, thanks for taking time out of a Sunday. Sunday should be a family day, or for business people, oftentimes you sneak into the office for a few hours, right, and go over the numbers and do a little planning ahead. But we appreciate this because our listeners need to hear from people like you, Pete.
Yeah, I'm happy to chat on it. And, yeah, you're 100% right. We've been benefiting from this little warm spell. I'm not complaining from the weather we've had over the past few weeks, but we know it's coming right around the corner. It's already starting to get
colder. Bless your heart. We're not either.
Yeah.
What should people be doing as we go into winter? What should they be thinking about?
Yeah, so a lot of our customers are starting to call us, our recurring customers and folks that we talk to. It's that time of year to start looking at getting a furnace tune-up. We think this is a really simple thing that you can be doing that's going to help extend the life of your furnace and your heating equipment, and really get ahead of any issues that might come up. One of the nice things about it is that it's much like getting a frequent tune-ups or oil changes on your car. It's one of those low-cost, very straightforward things that you can do that will extend the life of your equipment and will help you get ahead of any problems that you're going to have. Because like you're talking about, there's nothing worse than it's January, February or something. It's 15 degrees outside, and then all of a sudden the furnace breaks. And oftentimes, these are things that probably could have been spotted months ago or even years ago with just having a professional like us come in, perform a routine maintenance, spot any problems that you might have, or even just through the maintenance, keep the furnace running more efficiently and really reduce any issues that might come up so that you don't have to have that dreaded 1 a.m. Furnace call.
Pete, listeners are afraid that when they call a company, heating, ventilating, air conditioning company, to come out and do that service check, that they're going to be sold something they don't need. You want to talk a little bit about the philosophy at Sharon's and how that's not an issue when you come out?
Yeah, it's a fair concern. We view our customers as we view our customers as lifetime customers, right? It's not in our best interest to go through that and start pushing products and equipment on people that they don't need, like you said. And I think the bigger thing is that we expect to be there a couple times a year doing these furnace and air conditioning tune-ups for you. We'd be found out pretty quickly if we were going through and pressing equipment on people that they don't need and services that aren't going to be beneficial to them. It's actually one of the nice things about our trade, and something that we really enjoy about this business, is that there's satisfaction to actually telling people that your furnace is in great shape, it's running well. We'll see you again in 6 months or something like that. We don't always look to go out and provide them new equipment. We're happy to answer any questions, but really for us, we try to take the long view, because it's much more beneficial to us to have a really satisfied customer, a great review, and the chance to help service them again in the future.
Great information, Pete. We get a lot of emails like this from our listeners. I've got a 1,200 square foot house. I need a new furnace. I don't know whether I should get an 80%, a 90%, a two stage. There's just so many choices for them. And if they get a couple of estimates, they've got one person tell them, no, you need the 96%. They got another person tell them they need 80%. Where does Sharon's come in on something like that? Is there a threshold where you will recommend more of the energy efficient models to homeowners?
It's a really good question. And where we stand is that we just want to make sure that you have all the information available, that you understand the pros and cons of all of them, because it's just that there's no perfect answer. It's a matter of weighing the benefits of the different systems, what's valuable to you in terms of affordability, and we can just help you walk through and arrive at that decision. We don't tend to push one way or the other. I will say that with the high efficiency systems, if you have a longer timeline in mind, if you think that you're going to be in this home for some period of time, where you'll be able to recoup your investment, it's fairly easy to justify. Especially nowadays with our utility companies that we work with, the consumers and DTE in the area, they offer really nice rebates for energy efficient systems, up to $500 on new furnaces if you're getting a high efficiency model. So you combine that with the savings that you're going to get on your natural gas bill when moving to a high efficiency system. And yeah, I think, over a time period, it's pretty easy to justify. But again, if you want to be a little bit more cost conscious and something you want to have fewer bells and whistles, or go with more like an 80% efficient system, more entry level model, we're happy to accommodate that as well. We understand that there's no perfect fit for everyone, and that's why we offer these different options. But most importantly, we just want to make sure that we're breaking it down to you in clear language and not getting too wrapped around the wheel with all the technical jargon and whatnot, because like you said, nowadays there's a million different options. So we just want to make it clear and simple.
Is there any issue? We're hearing from listeners, I just got went from an 85% efficiency to a 98% efficiency, or 96%. And I swear it's louder and the air is coming out, more powerfully at the vents. Do you hear anything like that?
So with newer models like that, and if you're getting if you're moving from an older model to something newer, and what they'll have nowadays is something called variable speed blowers. The furnace actually has the technology to sense what level of air pressure is going through the vent. And if it's working with a thermostat to try to achieve a certain, temperature, it'll actually adjust its blower speed up and down. And, this is in an effort to basically hit the ideal temperature, at either a faster rate or a rate that kind of keeps the air circulating. So I think what some people will notice is that it feels like their furnace is on more frequently. And so they get a newer high efficiency model and they think, well, my furnace is running more. Is this costing me more money? Am I using more gas? And what's actually happening is that it will run more frequently, but at a lower level. So it's kind of a slow burn. And the idea there is that it keeps the air circulating in your home. So rather than just a hot blast of air and then having it shut off for a period and then another hot blast of air, it's able to run at kind of a lower level and helps you avoid some of the issues that people will have when, how you'll have homes in your room where one, it feels like one room was always cold, or one room was always hot, by circulating that air and just having the blower run, the gas may not actually be on. It may not actually be burning fuel, but it'll still just kind of keep using the blower fan to circulate air through there. So that could be something that we will see customers bring up to our attention if they never had a high efficiency model before.
We're speaking with Pete Cavarillo, owner of Sharon's Heating and Air Conditioning, and he's kind of getting us ready for the cooling season. We figured a couple weeks ago with the temperatures we had that we were going into an early winter, but it's bounced back. We got a great week looking ahead. So if you're thinking you need some work done or maintenance on your furnace, you want to check them out. They have locations in Fowlerville, and they cover all of Ingham and Livingston counties, as well as many other locations from their Westland location. Pete, going into the closed door, closed window season, clean air. Clean air is becoming more and more important to listeners out there. They're realizing they're shut down in their house during the wintertime. What kind of air cleaners does Sharon's offer their customers?
Filters
and air cleaners. You know, the
cleaning systems.
When COVID hit,
or something.
Yes, when COVID hit, we were getting so many emails about this subject.
Yeah, that's a really good question, and there are quite a few options nowadays. You know, ranging anything from just the simple 1-inch filter, that standard filter that most people have in their furnace. We also offer media cleaners, and that's going to be the larger 4 to 5 inch filter that you see. I think that's a really great cost-effective option to just improve the air quality in your home. It's fairly straightforward, but just simply by having a larger air filter with more surface area, it's going to capture more particulate. We also offer there's electronic media cleaners, which have a electronic component to it. It helps clean the air even further. And then we do have UV light options as well. So what those do is we have a UV bulb that gets plugged into the ductwork where your furnace is coming, blowing air out of, right by the supply. And the UV light will actually help to clean and kill different forms of mold and spores and things like that. So these are really great options if you have issues with allergies, or if you're someone that has sinus issues or anything like that. It does a great job to help clean the air. And what's nice is it's going to be year-round protection, right? It's not just if you're running your furnace, but if you have your air conditioning going in the summer or something like that, and you also have all the windows shut, it's just a great way to help keep that air clean. And it's a really nice option nowadays. We were working with a customer last week who just has bad allergies, and it makes a world of difference for those who struggle with that. So
it really does.
Different options. Yeah, and it's noticeable. It really is.
So once somebody's on your client list, maybe they did a cleaning check with you last year, and then they went ahead and installed a UV light system, are you automatically going to look at that stuff when you go out next year for the cleaning check at that residence or place of business?
Yeah, that's exactly it. That's one of the main reasons and justifications for going out and getting the annual maintenance, because we're going to go through and take a look at your whole system, right? Because we're certainly there to check your furnace. We're going to perform a combustion analysis, which means that we'll stick tools in there to double check that, make sure that the furnace is operating safely, that there's not carbon monoxide or too much carbon dioxide coming out of the furnace. But we're also going to look at all your equipment in general, right? Because it's one comprehensive system. So we'll take a look at that media cleaner. We'll look at that UV light. We'll look at your in-home, your furnace air humidifiers, if you have one, make sure they're functioning properly. And once again, it just allows us to get ahead of, one, any issues that might arise so we can spot them early and inform you. Or two, just, again, by virtue of doing that maintenance, keep the system functioning functioning better, running properly, and make it less likely to break down. But yeah, absolutely, we'll that's part of the whole package, right? Is to make sure that all these things are functioning properly. And one of the things with the UV lights is they do have an expiration date, or a lifetime, or an estimated lifetime for the bulb that goes into them. So that's one thing that gets changed. Oftentimes they last 5 to 10 years, but it's, again, allows us to spot that.
Well, right now, Sharon's Heating and Air Conditioning is offering a $59 tune-up special, which is a giveaway. It's not a moneymaker. They want to come in. They want to take a look at your unit. And when you need them, they will be there for you. Also, if you call Sharon today, you can learn how you can get up to $900 rebate if you need a new system through Consumers Energy on a new Bryant High Efficiency Heating and Cooling System. Great stuff. Great stuff, Pete. So right now, people give you a call. You will be out to their house for $59 tune-up. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah, we do that in conjunction with our friends at Consumers Energy and DTE. So we they run a rebate program for furnace tune-ups. We've worked with them. We're trade allies with them. We've had a great relationship. And when we go out and perform these tune-ups, we're able to process the rebate on the customer's behalf. So rather than having the customer wait around for weeks at a time to get their rebate checks, we handle all the paperwork for you. We make it really easy. We go out, form the tune-up, submit all that information into Consumers and DTE Energy on your behalf. And yeah, it allows us to, again, perform a low-cost service that we think really goes a long way and is one of the, in our opinion, simplest things you can do to really extend the life of your equipment and make sure it's running efficiently.
We really appreciate you doing that. In a little bit of time we have left, should people replace furnace and air conditioner at the same time? We get that question all the time.
I think if it's something where you're pretty set on knowing that you're going to replace both of them, there's absolutely a benefit to it. You're getting the system put in at the same time. You're going to have all the equipment that's going to be matching. We offer savings for bundling those systems together that you wouldn't otherwise get if you were to buy them individually. So there's going to be benefits to that for sure.
Awesome.
Again, not mandatory, but if it's on the brain anyway and you're committed to doing it, there's certainly a benefit from having that happen together.
The phone number is 734-425-1415. Whether you're out in the Fowlerville area or Westland, they can take care of you for any of your heating and cooling needs. Pete Cavarilla, thank you so much for coming on with us today. We greatly appreciate your knowledge, your insight. Great job.
Thanks, Pete.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, stay well. Pete. You know, if you're looking for competitive bids, you need new siding, new roofing, new windows. We've got one company that will give you competitive bids. They'll bid you a good, better, best, depending on what your objectives and your budget will allow.
You hear about performance remodeling all the time on the WJR airwaves. If you're thinking about new roof, new siding, new windows, we want you to contact Performance Remodeling.
Welcome back, everybody. We do appreciate you being with us. I want to remind you the phone lines are open at 888-654-4897. During the week, you can catch us at InsideOutsideGuys.com. You can catch our article every Friday in the Homestyle section of the Detroit News. And
Facebook.
Ken's home phone, you're generally available, what, after 6?
Yeah, right. But right now you can give us a call, like Chuck said, 888-654-GUYS, which equals 888-654-4897. Chuck, we got an email yesterday from a lady that said she needs to get the copper pipe replaced on the top of her water heater. She says the plumber told her he needed to drain the water heater to replace the pipe. And she said, my water heater is 18 years old, and I'm concerned if he drains the water heater that I'm going to need a new water heater.
Why would they need to do that to replace the copper pipe on top of the water heater? Wasn't the anode rod, was it?
No, it was not the anode rod.
That's weird.
But the point is an 18-year-old, and I said back to her, ma'am, why, if he replaces your furnace or your water heater, that pipe will be nothing to throw in there or to do at the same time.
Right.
And an 18-year-old water heater should be replaced. I just think bottom line, a 20-year-old water heater. Or, I mean, I would rather replace him at that age than it happened in January, the middle of the night when I have to call someone out for emergency. If the budget allows, and that's very important because not everyone has the money.
You sound like the utilities.
I'll replace it when I can. So we're going to go to the phone right now and talk to Dennis from Davison, who has a log cabin and wants some water heater recommendations. Good morning, Dennis. You're on with the guys.
Good morning.
Did I explain that right? Are you just looking for a recommendation? Are you there, Dennis?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead, sir.
Can you hear me? Okay. Yes, I was just wondering whether I want to stay with the electric, I guess, if it regenerates quick enough, the newer ones, because this is an old hot water heater. But my problem is if it doesn't, see, what it does is it actually runs off a generator, the cabin does. So when we're not there, it isn't heating up. So I was thinking of going with a gas one, but the only problem with that is a gas one, I'll have to reroute everything and move the plumbing because the one that I have now, electrical, is under the stairs. So I'd have to move that and then cut a hole through the logs to vent it out.
Yes, you will.
Where's the cabin located?
We are like 35 minutes south of Marquette, just off of 41.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So what's your concern? Why not stick with the electric if you've had good luck with it? It just doesn't regenerate quickly enough for you?
Yeah, with the family and that, when we're up there, or there's just several people, yeah, we seem to run out of water, hot water. So
okay,
yes, that's my thing. Is that if the new ones do have a quicker recovery, I would just probably go back with that and possibly put a little bit bigger one in. The one now is only about 3 foot, and I think I can go to like 52 inches high.
Yeah, it's not going to last long.
I would just suggest going to a bigger unit. I mean, the electric is so nice for the application you're talking about because you can just shut it off and walk away from it, or you can put it on a timer. You could buy a bigger unit that's got greater capacity in the heating elements. That will give you a little quicker recovery. And they'll list the tested recovery time on those on the tag, on the unit. I mean, if you walked into a plumbing wholesaler and you could look at 10 of them right there and see which one had the best, anticipated recovery time. Hopefully you've got the electrical to support it because they do suck up the electricity. Wow.
That was a quick segment.
Yeah.
So our suggestion, Dennis, would be to stick with the electric water heater and possibly just go with a larger unit.
Okay? Sounds good. Thank you very much.
Yep. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. Hey, we can talk about our emails. We get this email quite a bit. I hear you guys talk about the new shower inserts that look just like tile or just like slate or the designs. They're beautiful. They're absolutely beautiful. You don't have all the grout lines. They can come in and remove your tub and put a new one in, new shower surround in 1 day. And, of course, you've heard them for years here on the Inside Outside Guys. If you're thinking about a new bathtub, new shower, we want you to consider Bath Planet.
Welcome back, everybody. We do appreciate you being with us. The balance of the show, of course, is dedicated to you. Actually, every show is dedicated to you at 888-654-4897. We'd love to hear from you if you've got any questions, concerns, or comments. The electric water heaters.
Yep.
They are generally not the most efficient. The irony is, if Ken builds his new house today and puts in a gas water heater, he's also going to have to pay an electrician to run a specialized outlet for a future install of an electric water heater. The energy code is going to require that. If you want a
from
gas
6 years
stove,
ago?
Yeah. Your wife loves to cook. She wants a gas stove. She should be able to have it. Well, she still can, except you're also going to have to provide electricity for the future installation of an electric stove.
And why? If your
government at work.
What have I done for the last 20 years? I mean, I can't.
It's the way you vote. I've been telling you for years.
Don't do that to me right now.
It's like poking
years
the bear.
Years ago, Chuck, we had a gas stove. My wife wanted electric. Guess what I did? I called a professional. I had them switch out the gas for electric. Wow. I didn't need the government telling me I need to had a second plug there.
I'm with you.
Who was pushing this agenda? That's crazy. That's a totally useless wrong code.
It's a ton of money.
And the GFIs on the furnaces.
Yeah.
That's code now.
That is insane.
That's insane.
That is stupid.
We should have asked Pete about that.
Yeah, we should have. Our perspective is simply this. Every time you raise the cost of housing, I don't care if it's $100 or $1,000, all housing then goes up and becomes more expensive. The 60-year-old rental goes up because the new house is pricier. It's the way the market works.
And we've seen it over the last couple of years, haven't we?
Oh, we've seen it over the last 60 years.
6 months especially, yeah.
So if sometimes you hear us and go, why are you guys always against them doing this stuff? It's because it is unnecessary and it's a cost that will affect literally everybody except the homeless.
For an example, if certain industries had their way, every new house being built right now would come with a sprinkler system in the house.
Exactly.
All plumbed for a system like you see in the commercial buildings where you see the sprinkler.
Fire suppression.
Thank you. All right. Imagine how much that would add to a cost of a house.
Yeah.
And the residual, how about the insurance long-term now? How much is the insurance going to go up because they have that system now?
Well, they've got a lot of powdered systems. They now have zone systems. It used to be if the sprinkler in this room went off, the entire building went off.
Right.
That no longer is the case. But there is long-term maintenance. There are dry systems. Plus, here's some irony for you. In a lot of states that immediately went to sprinkler system requirements in houses and eliminated smoke detectors, they found the sprinklers were not reliable enough. They now require in a new building have both.
Oh, my goodness. See, and that's what frustrates me. It's like you order a standby generator. The power goes off and the generator doesn't work. Hold on. That's its job. That's why I spent the thousands
only
of dollars.
Reason you bought
that's
the it. Only,
but it's not working. So a fire goes off and the sprinklers don't work. Well, wait. That's why they mandated they were in there.
It's scary stuff. And again,
we're all for safe, affordable housing and not
absolutely.
Adding layers onto it and demand. Just recently, Chuck and I found out that it's mandated that a new furnace, a GFI, has to be on the furnace.
What the heck is a GFI?
And we just found this out because it happened to me. You know, my furnace stopped working. I remember calling a friend and go, is there anything on the furnace that could be going on? Nope. Because they've been out of it for a few years. They don't know. They don't know about it.
Well, let's remind people. A furnace is required to have a dedicated circuit.
Sure.
And historically, that circuit would run right to the furnace. There'd be a regular toggle switch there, a single pole switch, so you could kill it for servicing right there. And it works well. It's worked well for decades. Now they're saying that's got to be protected by ground fault circuit interrupters, which
will add more problems than anything else.
Those are extremely sensitive. Here's what we found over the years. GFCIs have their point, have their place.
100%.
Absolutely. But they also, for instance, a sump pump. You'd never want a sump pump tied to a GFCI. A furnace should not be. An air conditioner should not be. Here's why. They are so sensitive, they trip so easily that high humidity can cause them to kick. And again, you discovered that with your furnace. You're calling service providers.
And if I'm out of town in Florida and my furnace goes off because of a GFCI and my pipes burst.
Oh, gosh.
Because of this mandated code that they put on there. It's just ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. How do we go all these years without that and be safe? This is going to add more problems. I guarantee that is going
Here's
to add more problems.
Here's the rebuttal you always get. Ken, if it saves one life, it's worth it. And we all have to deal with that question because truly it's not. Hey, I don't care.
I'm glad you said it.
You know what?
I'm glad you said it.
If it raises the cost of housing to the point where it makes housing prohibitive, then
how many more are we going to lose when they're sleeping outside?
Exactly. How many people are going to die because of that? And they're going to live in old crummy houses and they can't afford to make the upgrades that would bring them up to current code. So they're going to live in houses where they don't dare tell anybody that it's everything is DIY, and that becomes far more dangerous.
Oh, my goodness. You're not kidding.
Far more dangerous.
You're not kidding. Yeah.
So.
Good point.
We also have a lot of people call and write us about combination boilers and water heaters. A lot of houses still have radiant heat, hot water heat, steam heat. And so they're due for a replacement, and they've read about or heard about utilizing what they call a combo unit, where your boiler that heats the house also heats water for the water heater. And those have been around for decades. I actually installed one in a house I built 30 years ago or whatever. I don't even remember. And all it is a separate tank for the hot water.
Sure.
And a separate zone for the water heater. So if you're installing a three-zone system, you know, one for each floor of the house, you would install a fourth zone for that water heater.
Okay.
And that boiler would be your source of generating, you know, the heat for the hot water.
Seems very efficient.
Yeah. You know, there's some benefits there. It's a little cheaper install initially, depending on how you do it and what you do. And you eliminate one chimney from the house. If that boiler has its own chimney, you're not going to have a separate one for the water heater, which is a good thing. So we tell people, you know what, depend on the recommendations and specifications provided by, you know, Sharon's or C&C, you know, by a professional installer, and then move forward from there. But yeah, there's a lot of benefit. Some people are doing that with solar, you know, where they're having that tied to the boiler and then putting solar panels outside and also supplementing, you know, the water heat, the hot water for the water heater. Sorry, I'm not doing this well. With solar. Hey, you can.
And it's only, the technology is only going to get better as time goes by. Chuck, got another email this week, a couple seconds we have left here, that someone asked about they're not using all their rooms in their house. Can they actually cover up the registers in those rooms?
They can. They can shut the doors. I mean, Grandma did that. And Grandpa in their houses for decades.
Can you do that with a high-efficiency furnace and still hope for that furnace to run just as well?
I would consult, once again, with a professional, but I really wouldn't have a problem doing it. Shutting off all but the five rooms. I mean, most of us anyway, we kind of mimic her because she was in a four-bedroom home, I think, right, by herself?
Yes.
We're empty nesters in a four-bedroom home, three levels, you know. And I don't do that. I just leave all the registers open, keep all the doors open. But
you don't have pets.
Well, good point. If you really have to economize, yeah, don't heat those spaces. Make sure there's no plumbing anywhere, you know, in the walls, in the roof, in the ceiling, in the floors, in those rooms that might end up freezing because you're not heating those rooms anymore. But
if you have a ceiling fan, put it on low. Move the air if you can.
Yeah, always good to move the air. If heat's not going in there, then moisture shouldn't be an issue. If you find it is, keep the door open and, like Ken said, run a fan. But notwithstanding that, there's no reason you can't have. I remember Grandma's house going into those rooms in the wintertime to go to sleep. That's usually where, you know,
sure,
they didn't provide any heat in those rooms to save money.
You slept with layers on.
Yeah, you put pajamas on and you had a quilt on the bed, you know? I mean, it's like, but boy, it was a quick sprint.
Now, if you heard me talk earlier about stagnant air.
Yeah.
If you don't have the fans in the room, if you only have a box fan, put it in a corner, put it on low. Let it move the air. But don't make those out of sight, out of mind rooms, okay? Go in there once a week, look in the corners, make sure you're not getting any mold anywhere, you know? If you move the air, you have a lot less chance of that happening. And if it's cooler, you have a lot less chance of that happening. But don't make them. One of the biggest things we do as homeowners is we have these out of sight, out of mind areas that we. I went in my attic the other day for the first time in a long time. Everything was fine.
How come? Just for the heck of it?
Just wanted to poke my head up there. I hadn't done it in a while.
Attics?
I got a high, you know, a very powerful flashlight and just poked my head up there, looked around for any mold, any leakage, you know, any water signs. There was nothing. But just wanted to check it out.
It's a good thing to do. So. You mentioned also furniture placements. Don't feel obligated to push furniture tight to the wall. Keep it out a couple inches.
Yeah.
Why not?
Great point.
In closets, we can talk more about that, but we'd love to hear from you when we come back at 888-654-GUYS as well.
We're going to talk a little about sump pumps. We're getting emails about people are worried because they have no water in their sump pumps. Should they be? We'll talk about that when we get back from break. In the meantime, you have an ugly basement floor, an ugly garage floor that might be full of oil stains from years gone by. Comer and Cross is in Royal Oak, and they service areas probably 2 hours outside of their office, and they do an absolutely beautiful job on your new garage floor, your new basement, your new porch cap. If you want a beautiful new look on your old concrete, call Comer and Cross Concrete Coatings. Good morning. Welcome back to the Inside Outside Guys. Laughing and learning 24/7 at theinsideoutsideguys.com. The Inside Outside Guys on Facebook during the week. If you have a question, and we mean any question, send us an email at theinsideoutsideguys.com. Go there, click on Ask a Question, and we will always get back to you. It might take us a couple days to get back to some of the emails, but we will always get back to you.
True story. By the way, tomorrow's Halloween. If any kids show up with teal blue buckets, that's supposed to put you on notice that that may be an autistic child. So
really?
If they don't interact to your, you know, nice costume or, you know, who are you or what are you supposed to
trying
be?
Trying to joke with them or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't take it personally and don't push the issue. Hopefully they'll be accompanied by mom or dad anyway, but just so you know.
That's interesting. You know, I do miss those days.
I do, too.
I was talking to my daughter, who is now 33. We grew up in the country. We grew up down a dirt road, 2 miles down a dirt road. If they would have trick-or-treated in our neighborhood, they would have got about 10 pieces of candy. And
would have taken them 6 hours to hit four houses.
So we used to always go to other neighborhoods. We'd literally, you know, pack up early, and we'd go down to Birmingham. Birmingham was a great place, you know, to send the kids.
They're snotty.
We'd go to Clarkston. You know, we'd go to all these places. And
we went to Married Housing in Central Michigan.
What's that?
We'd go through Married Housing because you could hit two down, two up in a minute and a half, and then just sprint to the next door. And boy, we could hit 200 places in a couple hours.
You'll get trick-or-treaters, will you not, where you're at now?
You know, we don't get a lot.
We don't either.
And I've never understood that.
We don't either. I had my light out 1 year. I think we had one. And
yeah.
Now on trick-or-treat, I turn them off. I just shut. And I wouldn't normally do that.
No.
But I'm not going to sit by my front door to get one or two trick-or-treaters.
Same with us. We started leaving candy with a neighbor of ours, and we'd come back, and we'd still have all the candy.
And you don't need that candy.
We go to my brother's. I love candy. I'm a candy fool. We go to my brother's. He has a party. He's one of those people. His yard is full of stuff, creatures, inflatables, that I love to see, even though I would never do it.
There's an area in Romeo, and it's a block. And my daughter took my granddaughter to this last week. And it's just a block of people. And she said, Dad, I could never live there because if you live there, you have to do this. You have to do this.
Peer pressure? Or?
Yeah. And these houses, and people, I'm sure people who are listening know the area. But amazing, just amazing how they deck these houses. And my first thought was, where do they store that stuff?
I always think of that, too.
Because it's so much stuff.
I actually asked my brother, and I know what his response is, and I know where he tells me he does it, but I still don't get it. Because he has so much stuff.
I actually mentioned to my wife about taking it right over there, just her and I, to check it out.
I love it. That, you know, Christmas decorations. I love seeing it.
I do too.
I've never been.
I'm not a big Halloween fan, but I.
I know you are.
I like seeing people get into it.
And if you had Christian's gutters out to install permanent accent lighting, you could have those programmed for orange over the next couple of days.
You're right. Absolutely. So I went to break talking about some emails we've gotten.
Yeah.
We've got a few of them. People who are just concerned because they don't have water in their sump pump. And we haven't got these in the past, have we?
Very rare that we'll get that. Usually it's just the opposite. You know, too much water. Do I need another pump? Yada, yada. But
right.
I got a dry sump crock.
Yep.
Never get any water there. Something wrong with my house.
And it concerns them. The one that we got yesterday, the man said, could I have a plug somewhere in my system?
Yeah.
And my advice to him, because Chuck and I both answer emails, he answers some, I answer some, was, no, you're fine as long as you're not seeing any evidence of water anywhere else in your basement.
Exactly.
And it's pretty simple. If you want to grab a hose and just go put it in your center drain and turn it on, you'll see water, water going. So,
yeah, as long as it's not sewer.
I mean, it'll eventually make it way to sump pump. You're right, not sewer drain. But don't worry about not having water in your sump pump.
No.
Every sump pump, let's say this right now, every sump pump should be covered. I mean, kids, unfortunately, have died in sump pumps because they weren't covered. So every sump pump should be covered 100%. Yeah. But if you don't have water in your sump pump,
I think you look up
I'd feel
and
good
say,
about
thank
it.
You, Lord.
Yeah.
And can you have had a water issue 10 years ago in the crock where your pump's running a lot and now you're not getting it? Yeah. Those groundwater aquifers change constantly, which is one of the reasons when we talked to Jared Beauchamp, he says, hey, if you're on a well, get that water tested, because you don't know 6 months to 6 months how much water or what type of water is moving through the soils.
So true. Yeah. So true. Just that's again, an out of sight, out of mind thing that we don't think of. Right. Think about your cottage up north, Chuck, and for everyone else, just thinking how worried we all were with just 2 or 3 years ago with the water levels of the Great Lakes.
Oh, it was a big issue, concern for us.
But it was a giant concern for you. And there were people who spent hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars, to protect their properties on the Great Lakes, Lake Michigan. Houses were falling into Lake Michigan because the water levels
just
dry.
South of us go into the water.
And that's not an issue
right
now.
It's not there anymore.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The houses, but that water, how far out is it now?
3 weeks ago we had what we did was we designed our own wall and hired some people and put in a wall, right? And our wall is probably 12 feet from the front of our deck. So I always pace off from the wall to the water line, right?
Right, okay. And at one point, it was right there, correct?
Oh, yeah.
12 feet.
Literally, yeah, from the top of the wall, it was a 6-foot drop into the lapping water. Yeah.
And that had to be very nerve-wracking for you.
Oh, it was. I'm going, I can't lose my house, right? Anyway, from the wall to the water line, we've got like 120 feet. I pace it off.
And I remember a friend of ours
sugar sand,
told us, like 2 years or a year and a half before, high water level is going to be July of 2019 or 2020. And we both goes, how does she know that? How does she? But she did, and she was right.
Yeah.
Because ever since then, the water levels have been going down. Slowly and now they're down. All worried about the Mississippi River's in trouble right now.
You know, the irony of that is, and everybody goes, it's global warming. And he goes, no, you know what's interesting? You can find data. We did because of our proximity to that problem. And it's roughly a 27-year cycle that you're going to have really high water in the Great Lakes and then low water. You know, it's going to come up, move back and forward.
And you've seen that how many times since you've been up there? How long have you been up there? 20 years?
It's funny. We've been up there 21, 22 years. But I also had a lot of familiarity with Lake St. Clair. And I remember when Jefferson Avenue down by the Points was sandbagged and covered in water.
Right.
From the previous high water almost 30 years prior.
Yeah.
So I've witnessed two of those cycles, and that's what they are. They're close to a 30-year cycle.
Yeah, because I remember
it's not global warming. It's not global cooling. It's
in 2010, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, we would drive up, and you'd go over a hill, a bridge, just before you get to Oscoda. And they have a marina on the right-hand side where a lot of people live in the marina and have their boats right there. And they would have to have a ladder to go down from their dock down to the boat.
Yeah, that's just north
and
of us.
And now it's so high.
2 miles, yeah. you're so right about that. We saw that. We saw, marinas and whatnot, private boat clubs install the floating dock systems if they could afford to do that.
Right.
Because then they just go up and down, They ride steel piers up and down as the water levels change. But we saw, I remember this would have been 50, 60 years ago now, on Lake St. Clair, people with fixed keel sailboats that literally would run them aground accidentally when the low water was in place. You see the sailboat stuck. It's like, oh, gosh, I'm so glad that's not me.
Right? You know what? And if your basement, if you normally have a damp basement, and right now it's not damp, that's a time to get down there and take care of some things. One thing that people do not do that we suggest everyone does is right where your basement floor meets your walls, you need to seal that off. Just take a inexpensive caulk. We don't need an expensive caulk for that location.
No.
And
I mean, if you can afford it, I'd use a polyurethane. But
polyurethane's the best, yes. Yeah. But I would take, if I had a couple old tubes, I would have no problem using that for that.
Yeah.
But seal off that little seam between your wall and your basement floor. Yep. It's one more spot that water won't come up. It's one more spot that critters won't come up, ants, you name it. And it's also another one more spot where if you have a tendency to have any radon gases, it shuts that off. If you can seal your floor, your basement floor, one more thing, Chuck, that's on my list because the humidity's been so high in the house. Now, I have a very well hard-troweled basement floor that was sealed at one time, but I think that sealer is starting to come off because I'm starting to get more humidity, so I do want to seal my floor again.
Do you have you used any inexpensive humidistats throughout the house to see where you're, where it's coming from? Because I got to believe it's coming from your pond, right?
Oh, yeah. It is coming from my pond. I just want to get it out of my house. As soon as it comes in, I want to try to get it out of my house.
Good luck with that.
You know what? We were just talking basements. We're just talking about damp basements or not damp basements. If you want to enjoy your basement more, Chuck, there's people want to get more square footage. They either build up, they build out, or they take advantage of all that wonderful space they have beneath them, and they call Basements Plus, who can waterproof your basement and give you a beautiful finished basement that will increase the value of your home. Again, call Basements Plus. Having a great time this Sunday morning with you, our listeners. If you want to give us a call, 888-654-GUYS equals 888-654-4897.
Hey, let's take a minute and thank the master in the studios at the Fishers, Brian. What a great job he does. I like that music. It's like, I just want to hear the music.
I know.
I don't want to hear you.
I know. That's our music.
I don't want to hear me.
Kind of music.
I know. God bless you, Brian. Thank you, Brian, for doing such a wonderful job. Man.
Chuck, can I rant for a second?
We've kind of ranted a couple times today already, but yeah, let's keep doing it.
I hate, and I mean with a capital H, and I don't hate many things. You know how I feel about that word.
I don't even like the word.
But I hate
I wish
the
you
fact.
Wouldn't use it around me, quite frankly.
I hate the fact that the government is controlling so much of the housing right now. You go back just 1 year ago, we had right around a 3% interest rate. 7% right now, Chuck. Just like that. It's going to be 7% and still could go higher. And that is making such an impact on this industry. Although I still think long term, it's not going to make a huge impact. We're nowhere near where we were in 2008. But I absolutely hate the fact that the real estate market has slowed down when it was going so wonderfully because of choices that the government has made.
I agree with you.
Drives me crazy.
That's has such a big impact on housing. You know, we always have said, you know, that the cost of money is a huge factor in new housing or old housing for that matter. And we're seeing it. New housing permits nationally have dropped quite a bit over the last couple of months, even though it's funny. The business of building apartments has
actually
gone up, multifamily, because they recognize there's a housing shortage. And if we're not building new houses, people will definitely rent our apartments if we build more of them.
Right.
And everyone that you and I know that owns apartments, I mean any company that's a full-time business, they're building everywhere they can.
They are.
They're building new units everywhere they can.
Yep.
And again, they're more expensive. I talked to a group, I told you a couple months back, of apartment owners. I mean, one of these gentlemen, his company owns over 100,000 units throughout the country. And we talked about the impact of this new energy code that's going to make them provide all these additional electrical circuits, chargers for EVs in every unit.
Which is going to make every one of those units cost more.
Exactly. Yep. They have to pass that cost on. If your local Burger King pays more for hamburger, your Whopper's going to cost more. It's just the nature of the beast. And people don't get it. And it's not making those houses safer or apartments any safer. And that it should be about safety.
Right.
And it's not making them any. All it's doing is raising the price and the cost to the user.
It is.
It is. Sad stuff.
And you know, it's funny because if I was in the market for a house right now, me, or if my kids were in that market, my advice would be go buy that house. They're going to come. The rates are going to come back down. If you love you see a house that you like, go buy the house. Yeah, your payments are going to be a lot more than they just would have been, you know, a year ago. But the rates are going to come back down.
And the house won't get any cheaper.
And the house, exactly. That's the point there. The house is not getting any cheaper because, Chuck, I remember going back to 2007, okay? And I'm hearing this now about this supposed recession that's coming. But I remember in 2007 then saying, they're preparing for a minor recession. It shouldn't be tough. And I'm hearing the same talk right now.
they're preparing for a minor recession.
Not going to happen.
What's not going to happen?
We're not going to have anything majors, like we had back then.
I agree with you. No. I totally agree with you, but I still don't trust them no matter what they say.
Well, I try not to listen. You know me. I don't even watch the news. I will not watch it.
I'm very much like it. But here's the issue with that. Everyone is responsible for their own personal house. So if you think the economy is going to hurt you, start saving. Do what you can right now. 888-654. Guys, let's talk to Tim from Ann Arbor, who has a question that we are familiar with. Good morning, Tim. You're on with the guys.
Good morning. I have a well. I live just west of Ann Arbor on a well. Water's great in the cold water. I'm getting a terrible sulfur egg smell on the hot water. I was suggesting getting an electric anode rod to put in. I'm wondering if that's a true way to fix it or if there's something else I should do.
Oh, well, that is a true way to fix it. The anode rod. Right?
Exactly. That's
you
what
said
we
cold
suggest.
Water and hot water, though.
So the ones that plug into the wall, is that well, are those... Do those actually work?
Those what?
The anode rod I was told to replace that with one that plugs into the wall, so it's actually a powered anode rod.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I don't think that's necessary.
It shouldn't be necessary. The cheaper rods that most water heaters come with typically are not going to deal well with sulfur in the water. And we tend to see this in water heaters, hot water, more so than the cold water coming out of the tap, you know, right out of the ground in your case. So you want a higher quality rod, usually an aluminum rod will get rid of the sulfur. It's probably worth it to try that first.
Yeah, and the one you had worked all this time and that wasn't electric, I would have no problem. And they're not hard. I mean, for someone who knows what they're doing, they're not hard to replace in your water heater.
Go to a plumbing wholesaler and buy the rod.
And come back and replace it. It's simple.
And yeah. just switch over to an aluminum instead of the cheap one that's in there now.
Yes, sir.
I would try that. You want to pay note when you pull the old one out that you've probably just got connected to that threaded cap, the remnants of the old rod, which might just be a blackened cable hanging down in the water, whereas the new rod
it's only two years old.
I'm sorry?
The water heater is only two years old. Correct.
Wow.
That's very possible. Again, we were just talking, you know, the aquifers that service your water well are changing constantly. So you don't know one day to the next, one week to the next, what's actually in that water.
Yeah, two years, though, that is awful quick. But put that aluminum one in and then make sure you check it periodically.
Okay, well, thank you for your help.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Tim. All right, let's take the last call of the day and talk to Mike from Lansing, who's got a great question. How you doing, Mike? How can we help you, sir?
Hey, good morning. How are you?
We're doing great. Beautiful day.
Yes, it is. Hey, I have probably three or four generations of cordless Ryobi tools. I'm thinking about switching brands. I do service work mainly, some light construction. So I typically use the angle grinder, screw gun, hammer drill, and that type of thing. And I was wondering what brand you guys thought might be best.
Chuck likes your brand.
I've actually had really good luck with the Ryobi. And, boy, I can talk for a long time on the battery-operated tools because I was buying the very first ones out there. But Milwaukee and Ryobi are two that I will buy very quickly when I need them.
DeWalt's always been...
DeWalt's been great for me. That was the first one that I had great luck with. I mean, I could have sold their battery-operated tools 30 years ago, but I was greatly disappointed in the battery life of replacement batteries with DeWalt when I tried to, you know, just buy the new batteries, which were $45, $50, $60 a piece back then.
For a 5-volt one, I mean.
I mean, yeah, obviously they weren't the 20. And,
right.
They're probably NiCad as well.
Yeah. The biggest thing I found is to take care of, you know, we used to leave them in the truck overnight, you know, all year long, and don't let them freeze. Don't let them get too cold. Keep them cool, but don't let them freeze.
Cold kills batteries.
The extreme cold.
Yeah.
Beyond that, all I can tell you is that I've had great luck. We actually used Ryobi and Milwaukee in labs with students where they're radically abused, you know. And they held up better than any other brand that we had in there. So that's my opinion. Feel free to...
No, I feel the same way. For me, DeWalt is kind of because I started with them. I stay with them, you know, because I have so many... Every time you buy one, they sell you a battery and a charger along with it.
I got so angry.
So. Yeah.
Well, I'm looking at probably dropping $1,000 on a whole line of tools or more even,
sure.
Possibly. DeWalt's now got the dual voltage... 20 and 64, I believe, or maybe it's 1864. Yeah. And I tried a guy's grinder that had that, and it was super powerful. I don't know.
I have that grinder. I have the grinder you're talking about.
Okay.
And it comes with the big, big battery, and it only fits that battery for that specific tool.
Jeez.
That's the only one I know that does
see,
that. And it is very powerful.
Boy,
yeah, I was cutting
I'm
some tubing. It was very smooth.
Yeah.
So I'm not knocking that brand. I'm just conveying my personal experience with those. Also, don't leave a charged battery on a charger. You're better off depleting batteries and then recharging them. And it's a mistake that a lot of us in the industry have made over the years. We figured, you know, buy a couple extra chargers, keep them plugged in all the time.
Nope. You can't charge. Why? It'll be charging and run. Or
yeah, it actually shortens the life.
Yeah.
I found you get extended life out of those. If you can actually run them down, have another battery to replace it, obviously you're making a living with this, so you got to have multiple batteries, and don't let them freeze. And I've gotten, again, really good performance out of them by just doing those two things.
Right. Yep. Hopefully that helps,
Well,
Mike.
That's what I do. Thank you.
We appreciate it, but we're up against the clock.
Sorry about that, Mike.
It comes down, don't want you
to feel like we cut you off.
But we do want people to stick around for the next hour. We have a bonus hour coming up through the magic of radio, like Chuck always says. We're going to run over to Clarkson Window and Door.
Jeff Weaver. He's fun.
Quality guy, owner. He tells a story of how he started in the business. Stick around. If you're thinking about new windows and doors, stick around. Listen to Jeff Weaver from Clarkston Window and Door. And people are always asking us, hey, going into the wintertime, can I still get my chimney repaired? Can I still get my porch repaired? Can I still get tuck pointing done? Absolutely. Almost year-round.
Yeah.
And winter is what kills that brickwork. Once your brickwork start going bad, it's like cancer on your house. You need to get it repaired ASAP. And when you need that masonry repaired, make sure that you call Brickworks Property.